Is taken out of the book of Genesis, the 28th chapter. We were dwelling upon Jacob at Bethel. Last week we were speaking to you how that Jacob fell asleep and had a rock for his pillow, and how that while he was sleeping he had a dream. And in this dream he saw a ladder set upon the earth which reached up unto heaven, and how he seen angels going up and down on this ladder. Now this ladder typifies Jesus Christ. He is the means whereby man may again speak unto God. Now the angels running up and down the ladder typify the ministry of angels used by God for the help of his saints here below. And we find Jacob then having a dream. Dreams, many of us have dreams. The Israelites of old, they were not permitted by God, when they had a dream, to go to those that interpreted dreams. The people in the East, they were accustomed to take much stock in dreams. They would go, when they had a dream, to these interpreters and see what the dream meant. You know from Scripture that when Joseph, he had dreams, and God gave him this dream for that reason, that he would know in the future already what was going to take place with him. Joseph likewise interpreted dreams for the butler and for the baker. He interpreted also the dream of Pharaoh. We find likewise Daniel interpreting dreams. He interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. It pleased God sometimes to reveal himself in dreams. He revealed his will in this way. We find Joseph, married to Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, that he likewise had a dream. It was told him who the child was, where he was ready to leave his wife. Because of this, he was told to remain with her. Here we find Jacob having a dream. You and I had dreams. Probably you've had dreams, they scared you. You awoke and you were only too glad it was a dream. I know I've had that already. And sometimes we have such beautiful dreams that we don't even want to awake. They're so pleasant. And sometimes, if we have the grace of God, we don't like dreams because dreams are vain imaginations. We don't take too much stock in dreams. But you know, I've had it already, very seldom though, that I was dreaming and I was leading the congregation. And I was in prayer in this dream. And when I woke up, why, the tears were streaming down my cheeks. It was so true in this dream what I was praying. This don't happen too often. I wouldn't mind dreaming every night in this way, my hearers. And Jacob, he had a wonderful dream. In this dream, he seen God on the top of this ladder. And as I said, God spake unto him and told him that he would be with him. He promised him that he would make his seed as the sand of the sea, that he would spread out to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west, and that he would become a great nation. And God said unto him, and I will be with thee, and I will keep thee whithersoever thou goest. And I will bring thee again back into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have performed unto thee the words that I have spoken. We were dwelling upon this text last week when we stopped. I said to you, this was such a wonderful text, and it is, my hearers. What a wonderful thing it was for this man, Jacob. This Jacob, he had to flee from his home. And here he was, out in this wild wilderness. Probably there were wild animals around there. And here he was laying and having this dream. He had to flee from his home because he had deceived his father, and he likewise had deceived his brother Esau. He had not been such a good person in this, my hearers. And probably in your life you have done things like this too. You have deceived maybe many creatures in different ways and in different manners. And here we find that Jacob was an object of God's love. For God appeared unto him and spake unto him these wonderful words. We see here the sovereignty of God. We see here the doctrine of election shining so clearly and so purely, where he says himself, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. If it was you and I, we would have loved Esau and hated Jacob. But God is so different, my hearers. Now this was a wonderful meeting for this man, when God said unto him, I will be with thee. Oh, what a mercy for that great and glorious God to reveal himself unto a sinner like Jacob and say unto him, I will be with thee. You know, if we don't have God with us, my hearers, we have who with us? Why, we are in the clutches of Satan. We are under the dominion of sin, and we are loving the world, and we are traveling to eternity without God, without Christ in this world, and without any hope in it. Oh, what a fearful state to be in, my hearers. Are you still in this state? Oh, may I earnestly entreat you to seek an interest in this God, the God of Jacob. For if we have God with us, who can be against us? If God is with us, my hearers, we have nothing to fear. For this God will keep us, will protect us, will bless us, will favor us. And nothing that comes upon us can harm us or do us ill, for all things must work together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to his purpose. Jacob here then has a meeting with God. And God continues to speak and says unto him, I will keep thee whithersoever thou goest, in all places whither thou goest. All my hearers, we need divine keeping. Jacob needed it, and every one of God's children needed it. We need to be kept from sin, from evil, from the world, from ourselves. If you know anything of yourself, it will be your daily prayer to keep you, that God will protect you. We need to be kept. Sometimes we get in such places, my hearers, so that we would run away from God. You ever been in such places? Oh, you know, we get in such darkness and such deadness and such coldness, and sin gets such the upper hand over us. And then the enemy comes in and says, you a child of God? Huh. You can't be a child of God. Look the way you live. Look the way you talk. Look the way you act. And you believe what this voice is saying inside to you. You ever have that? You believe that more than you believe God. And you get into such a place, my hearers, that you think everything is wrong, that grace never was shown to you, that God never met with you. All truly, my hearers, when we are in such a place, we need divine keeping. We need God again to appear unto us and speak unto us. And he does in his love and in his mercy. He pours out his spirit of prayer upon us and gives us to come to him and to confess unto him just what we are, so clear and so plainly, that he puts the words in our hearts and upon our lips. What a blessing it is to find that this God, he never leaves or forsakes his people. Jacob, he was a man that could say that he had been kept. For we find him when he was upon his deathbed, we find him saying that he was waiting for thy salvation. He had been kept when he left this particular place and went to Laban. He was kept for 20 years in this place. 14 years he served Laban for his two daughters, and 6 years for his cattle. And all this while, God was with him. God kept him. God fulfilled his word to him. And when he came back again, God brought him into this land in which he had said that he would bring him. It takes sometimes a long time for God to fulfill his promises by hearers, but he does. He keeps his word. He's faithful to his word. I will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou shalt goest, and I will not leave thee until I have fulfilled the words that I have spoken unto thee. All he had to do with a faithful, covenant-keeping God. Now, this God who had promised Jacob that he would be with him and that he would keep him, he did fulfill his precious promise unto Jacob. And my hearers, has he ever promised you anything? Have you ever met with him? Oh, this is such a wonderful thing in life, my hearers, to meet with God, or God to meet with us. This is what happened to Jacob, and this is what must happen to each and every one of us. Shall we ever have communion and fellowship with God? Jacob never merited this, my hearers, and not one soul ever merits a meeting with God. It is God that comes in his free and sovereign grace and seeks out those whom he loves, whom he has chosen. And regardless of what kind of a life that person has led, how sinful he may have been, and what others have thought of him, God thinks more of such a person than all the people in the world. And now this Jacob, he had this promise fulfilled in his life. And we find that Jacob, he awaked out of his sleep. And when he awaked out of his sleep, he said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is none other but the gate of heaven." Oh, this was such a wonder to this man. It was truly just as he said, it was none other but the house of God, the gate of heaven. Have you ever had a meeting with God? My hearers, these meetings are so unexpected. That is, from our side. You never know when God's going to meet with you. I would entreat every one of my hearers to come under the truth continually. Come under the word. It is there where God meets with his creatures. It is there where God speaks unto his people. And it is there where God gives them Bethel meetings, just as he gave Jacob. Oh, what a wonderful thing it was for this man, Jacob, when he awoke. He said, "This is none other but the house of God." Here he was out in the wilds, out in the field, we'll say, laying on the ground, and that was the house of God to him. Have you ever had something like that in your life? It don't have to be in the church, you know. Oh, God can meet with you any place. Could be at your work, could be at your home, could be in the cellar, could be in a field, could be in a barn. Oh, God is so sovereign where he meets with his creatures, my hearers. And wherever he meets with you, you know, you will say just as Jacob, "This is none other but the house of God. How dreadful is this place." You know, a person that meets with God in this way, oh, what awe. What a feeling of majesty. What a feeling he has about him, that God is round about him, that God sees him, that God knows him. Have you ever had that, my hearers? Oh, then you have said to you with Jacob, "This is none other but the gate of heaven." You know, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, but broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. And you know, it's a narrow way to heaven. That narrow gate is the gate of the new birth. And when a person is given to be born again, then it is to him the gate of heaven. Oh, I know some of you may say, "I don't know whether I'm born again or not. And I don't know whether God met with me or not. I can't just put my finger on the time or the place when he did meet with me. I'm so confused sometimes, I wonder whether God ever met with me." I know we get that way many a times. But haven't you had it sometimes when you were alone in secret on your knees in prayer, or that you found the nearness of God, that you could talk to him just like you talk to somebody else? Why, you could talk to him as you never talked to anybody on earth. You had an access. You had then the nearness of God in your soul. It was just like if there was connection between you and heaven. You were speaking, and God was listening, and you believed that he was listening. All my hearers, this is a wonderful thing to experience in life. It may be just a small thing to your estimation, but it's not so small, my hearers, believe me. There are very few people that are given to talk to God and get an answer from God. And my hearers, we find that Jacob, when he arose from this sleep, what did he do? He took the pillar, the stone that he had, and he set it up and he poured oil on it. He raised up there a memorial. This was the place where God had met with him. You ever do that? You remember any place where God met with you? In your mind, in your memory, you go back and you say, then and then, in that place, in that word, God spake to me. You raise up then a memorial, just like he did. He raised up this stone, and you poured oil upon it, the oil of gladness, the oil of joy, because God had met with you. And after he had done this, my hearers, what does Jacob do? Jacob, he makes a vow. And he vowed and he said, now, if God will be with me and keep me in all places whither I go, and will bring me back again safe into this land, into my father's house, and will give me bread and raiment, then this God will be my God. And this place will be his house. He made a vow. Why, my hearers, if God ever meets with you, if God ever does something for you, if God ever hears your prayer and delivers you when you're in trouble, in affliction, or whatever may come upon you in life, oh, don't you make a vow? Didn't you ever make a vow, some of you people who were raised up from a breath of sickness, nigh to death you were brought, and you said, oh, if I'm made healthy again, I'm made well again, I come up to God's house again, then that God is going to be my God. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to fear him. I'm going to love him. You ever do that? I pity you if you never did, my hearers. I do, honestly. Oh, if you don't know this God and you don't love this God, oh, I fear for your soul for eternity, my hearers. Therefore, I entreat you earnestly. You may say, well, I can't do anything about it. Look, Jacob, he was going away from home and God met with him. That's true. But doesn't God teach us in his word that we should seek him? Doesn't he teach us that he has no delight in our death, in our destruction, which is great, but therein that we turn and live? And I, as his humble servant, entreat you to turn unto him, seek him earnestly, sincerely, uprightly, my hearers. You may say, I can't do that. That's true. But ask him to give you to do it. You can get to that. And oh, if he should be so kind and so gracious and so merciful to you as to meet with you as he did with Jacob, oh, you'll never forget it, my hearers. You'll make a vow then too. Oh, you want to love this God. You want to fear him. You want to walk before him. Oh, you would say, what a blessed service it is to be in the service of the Lord. I could recommend this service to every one of my hearers. How troubled I am at times, and how despondent I am, and how rebellious I am when the love of God is present in your soul. My hearers, there's no better service in this world than this service. And Jacob, my hearers, he arose from this place, and he went towards the land of the east. And when he came into the land of the east, he came to a well, probably the same well that we found the servant of Abraham at when he sent up that memorial prayer and God answered him. We find Jacob at this well, and there were sheep and men present at this well, and he inquired if they knew one by the name of Laban. Yes, they said, we do. Here comes his daughter down with the sheep. Well, he says, why don't you remove the stone off the well so they could water the sheep? They said, we don't do that until everybody's here. But when he seen Rachel coming down with the sheep, he went over and he took the stone and rolled it off the well's mouth, and he fed all the sheep. He spoke unto Rachel and told her who he was, that her brother Laban was Rebecca, his mother, that was his sister, and that he was a son of Rebecca. And then he kissed Rachel. And then they went back home. And we find that Jacob, he tarried about a month in the home of Laban. The story this day is concerning Joseph. It jumps from chapter 28 to 37. It would exclude much of Jacob's life, which we have in those chapters preceding the one that we are dwelling upon. And we find Jacob then in the house of Laban. And Laban said unto him, now you're my sister's son, should you serve me for nothing? What will be your wages? Well, he says, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your youngest daughter. Well, Laban says, I couldn't give her to anyone better than you. It's a bargain. You serve for 7 years and you can have her. And Rachel, she was beautiful and well favored. And Jacob, he loved Rachel. And those 7 years that he served Laban, they passed away so quick. How many of you people know what love is? You know what natural love is? God has given us in his precious word a description of spiritual love. Oh, what a wonderful thing love is. You see that in Jacob. He loved this Rachel. And those 7 years, they just flew by. You know, love overcomes everything. Love don't think any evil. Love is just filled with kindness. And now, this wonderful love that Jacob had towards Rachel resembles likewise the love that God sheds abroad in the soul of a sinner. Oh, if God ever sheds his love abroad in your heart, my hearers, oh, that love that carries you through everything. Oh, nothing can dampen that love. Nay, the flames of hell can't dampen it. That's a wonderful grace, the love of God. I wonder how many of my hearers have ever experienced it in their life, that God has shed his love abroad in your heart. If he has, my hearers, he loves you, and he loves you to all eternity. There's no changing in his love. And when that love is in exercise, my hearers, why, we would run through flame and fire for Jesus Christ. But when that love ain't in exercise, oh, we fear what we would do. We fear we would run away from him. I don't know if you're acquainted with the Apostle Paul in his life. I've read it so often, and I've been so jealous of that man. Why? Because he was just so filled with the love of Christ. It carried him all over the world. He preached nothing else but Jesus and him crucified. At one time, they stoned him almost to death. They carried him out of the city. And he got up and he went right back into the city. The love of Jesus constrained him. And all my hearers, it's something to be jealous about. He was not only ready, he says, to be bound in Jerusalem for Jesus, but he was ready even to die for him. You see what the love of Christ does when it's shed abroad in the heart of a sinner. Oh, for more of that heavenly, that divine love in our hearts, that we would love him and love each other. And now Jacob, when the time came that he should receive Rachel, what did Laban do? Now it's going to be paid back to Jacob what he did. He deceived his father. He deceived Esau. And now God is going to reward him. With the same sin that he committed, he's going to be paid back. And we find that instead of Laban giving him Rachel, he gives him Leah, his eldest daughter. The peculiar way of the marriage ceremony in the East was also very helpful in this case, that Laban was enabled to deceive Jacob in giving him Leah. And when he awoke in the morning, he found that it was Leah and it was not Rachel. And then he went to Laban and he asked him, why did he have beguiled him in that way? Well, he says, that isn't the custom in our country. He says, to give the younger first. We first give the elder. He said, now if you'll serve me another 7 years, in 1 week, you can have Rachel. And he agreed. And 1 week later, he took Rachel and she became his wife. And now he loved Rachel, but he didn't love Leah. And now, my hearers, it was in the providence of God that this all took place. Because Leah, she was to give birth to 6 sons. And this woman, she gave birth to a son by the name of Judah. And out of this tribe of Judah, the Lord Jesus would come forth. So it was necessary that Jacob should have Leah as his wife, and God seen to it that she was. Although he didn't like her and he didn't favor her, still, God in his all-wise providence directed it, and he was deceived by Laban, but even God's hand was in that. And we know from history that Jacob, he had 12 sons and 1 daughter. 6 sons were born to Leah and 1 daughter. And he had 2 sons by Bilhah, and 2 sons by Shuah, and 2 sons by Rachel. At first, Rachel had no children. Leah had the children, and the handmaids that were given unto Jacob, they received the children. But finally, God was entreated for Rachel, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Joseph. She gave birth to 1 more son, and when she gave birth to that son, she died. She named him Ben-Omai, but Jacob named him Benjamin. In the meantime, my hearers, Isaac, the father of Jacob, he passed away. Esau and Jacob buried their father Isaac. He arrived to the age of 180 years. And now we find Jacob dwelling in the land of Canaan. And he has this son, Joseph, who is 17 years of age. And he went with his brethren to take care of the flock. Now I wish to hold before you what an eminent type Joseph is of Jesus Christ. Keep this in mind as we go through the history of Joseph. For where Joseph was a shepherd, Christ likewise is a shepherd over his flock. Joseph then, he was loved by his father. In the first place, maybe because he was born of Rachel. He loved Rachel, and this was the first son that she had, and he probably loved this boy because of Rachel. But he also loved this boy for another reason. And that was because he seen the fear of God in him. He seen that he had the grace of God in his soul. And now he loved this boy above all the other boys that he had. Was that right? Is that right to be that way? You that are parents, you got a favorite in your home? You got 1 boy or 1 girl that you like above the other ones? If you have more than 1 child? That's not right. We read distinctly in the Bible, because Jacob loved Joseph and favored him this way and gave him a coat of many colors that his brothers hated him. That's what happens in a family many times. If the parents show partiality to one child more than another, then the other children are going to hate that child. That's what happened here. There should be no partiality shown to any one of the children. The government in a home should be partial. Every child should be loved as each one is supposed to be. Just as Dominie Lemaine often says, each child brings into the world its own love. And that's true. If you're a parent, you can't do anything else but love your children. But now, Jacob, he loved this young man because he seen in him that God had planted something into his soul. And now Joseph, he went out and he seen what his brethren were doing. The Bible says that they were doing evil. They were doing things that were wrong. And probably Joseph, he spake to them, he warned them, and told them that they shouldn't do such things. But they didn't listen to him. And he went back and he told his father. And told his father what his brethren were doing. Says he brought back the evil report of his brethren to his father. You know, sometimes our mind runs this way, and mine does too. Sometimes we think, well, Joseph, he must have been a squealer. He's squealing on his brethren. He's just trying to gain the favor of his father, Jacob. You ever think that? I don't think that's true. I think Joseph, he was an upright and a sincere child of God. And when he seen his brethren sinning like this, in love to them, he spake to them. He warned them. He told them that they shouldn't do such things. Anybody ever speak to you in love? Anybody ever warn you about things that you were doing that were wrong? How did you take it? You get mad? You hated that person? Or did you accept it in love? Did your father, your mother ever warn you when you were young that you were doing things wrong? What did you do? Did you love your parents for it? Be honest now. I'm sure you didn't. Oh, our nature. Our nature is so sinful, my hearers. It's so corrupt, and it's so filled with hatred and enmity, regardless even if they are our parents. And now, Jacob, he spake unto his sons concerning what Joseph had told him. And they hated him the more. Oh, they hated Joseph so because he told their father all about what they were doing. You know, my hearers, if we warn people about their sins and entreat them not to go on in them, in love, believe me, you know, the party that's doing it, he must use wisdom and understanding. And he must have his heart filled with love likewise. Or it doesn't carry any weight. It doesn't take any effect. But if we may do these things in love, my hearers, what will you get in return? What did Joseph get? What did Jesus get? Jesus came into this world. He's a wonderful type, Joseph of Jesus. He came into this world, and he warned the Jews. He spake unto them. And he entreated them to leave their sins. But they hated him too. They despised him. Just like Joseph was hated by his brethren. And now, my hearers, Joseph, he was a very wise and an obedient son. He was a comfort unto Jacob. Christ likewise was wisdom himself and was obedient unto his Heavenly Father. And we find that these brethren, they were taking care of the flock of sheep that their father had. And now Jacob, he sends Joseph out to see how his brethren are doing. Joseph, he's obedient to his father. He knew his brothers hate him, but he still obeyed his father. You know, my hearers, he's a type of Jesus Christ. God the Father sent Jesus Christ into this world, and he knew beforehand what treatment he was going to receive. He knew what was going to take place, but he was obedient unto his heavenly Father. Thy will I carry in my innermost soul. This he came to fulfill the will of his Father. And now Joseph, he went to his brethren into the vale of Hebron where they were living. He went out of that vale and he went towards Dothan, where the brethren were taking care of the sheep. God the Father sent Jesus out of that heavenly Hebron here below into this vale of tears for the express purpose of bringing forth a righteousness acceptable in his holy sight, whereby sinners may be saved. And now these brethren, they had moved to a different pasture because there wasn't any more grass in this place. So they moved the sheep. And now when Joseph came there, he was wandering in the field. And a certain man found him and asked him who he was looking for. He says he was looking for his brethren. Did he know where they were? Yeah, he says, they moved on. And he told them where they were, and he went to this place. And now these brethren, they see him coming in the distance. This young man, Joseph, he had had different dreams. And he had said to these brethren that God had given them dreams. And in them dreams, it was revealed that he would reign over them, that he would be superior over them. And when he told these dreams, they hated him the more. And now when he's coming to them in the field, they say, here comes that dreamer. Let's take him and let's kill him. And then we'll see what will become of his dreams. Oh, hatred. Murder was in their hearts. Hatred is an awful thing, my hearers. Oh, where it won't carry a person to. Have you ever had hatred in your heart? You know when hatred gets the best of a person, oh, he's apt to do anything. You know, therefore, it's very good not to have any dangerous weapons in your home. Because if you ever get in a fit of anger, you never know what you might do. You may laugh and you may say, oh, I'd never do anything like that, but you don't know what you will do. Because you're carried away in that moment and you don't know what you're doing. These brethren, they were filled with such hatred, they were waiting so that they could kill this young, innocent man, Joseph. And now we find Reuben, the eldest son, the firstborn. He spake unto them and said, let us not kill him. Let's throw him in this pit here. Let's not shed his blood. He then delivered them out of killing Joseph and murdering him. Now this Reuben, he had committed an awful sin. He had laid with one of his father's wives. A terrible thing to do. But he couldn't get it over his conscience to murder his brother Joseph, though. You see how far sin can go in some people. And now this Reuben, he did this with the intention that he would deliver Joseph and bring him back to his father. Now in this, my hearers, Reuben is a type of Pontius Pilate. You know, Pilate, after he had scourged Jesus, then he attempted to deliver him out of the hands of the Jews. He pleaded with the Jews, but there was no pleading with them. He was taken with wicked hands likewise. Just like Joseph, when he arrived there, these brethren, they took him and they stripped him of his coat of many colors, and they cast him into the pit. Same thing happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The wicked Jews, they took him and they stripped him also. and they hung him upon the cross, and they cast him into the grave where there was no water in. And now we find that Joseph, he's in this pit, and the brethren, they are gathered around this pit talking with each other. It appears that Reuben, he had went some other place. Probably he had went back where they had their food and where they prepared it, and he was probably fixing a meal for them. And he did not know that these brethren got together and decided that they would sell Joseph. They decided to sell him because they seen in the distance Ishmaelites coming, and they said, let's not spill the blood of our brother, but let's sell him. And then we won't have his blood on our conscience. So when these Ishmaelites came near, they took Joseph up out of the pit, and they sold him unto the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Another type of Jesus Christ. Jesus was sold by one of his own brethren, Judas, for 30 pieces of silver. My hearers, my time is gone. It's 3:05 again. The Lord willing, we will continue the story in our lesson from this point next week. That's all for today.